You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Coasting through the afternoons here in North Alabama, bringing you a conservative viewpoint unmatched by others. And we appreciate y'all being a part of this audience. So listen, I'm going to go right now to the phones and bring on somebody who is seeking to serve this community in a different capacity now. So Casey Wardinsky, you guys have heard him on the show multiple times, a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, a career officer, retired with the rank of colonel, served as the superintendent of city schools in Huntsville, went on to be President Trump's assistant secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs at the Pentagon, and now running for Congress to replace Mo Brooks in Congressional District 5. Casey Wardinsky, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Very good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, listen, first of all, congratulations. I saw the fourth quarter fundraising reports. Looks like your campaign, you raised roughly $148,000 and some change. Your next two strongest components, Dale Strong raised $95,000 and Paul Sanford raised $37,000. So you significantly outpaced your competition on fundraising.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of support in the community, and folks are very excited about the, you know, Trump conservatives getting into Congress so that when we have a strong president, we don't have the problem we had with the rhinos last time around.
Well, and yeah, that would be true. I did a segment on the show the other day called Elections by the Numbers, and I told them how polling and fundraising are the two indications of momentum. So if that's the case, if you could truly measure those things, then you appear to have momentum right now.
Yeah, I think so. We're seeing that. You know, we've been in this race now for about 10 months. We got in last April, and we've been working real hard, door knocking and lots of community events, meeting people across northern Alabama. And, you know, universally, they're very excited about the upcoming election. They're very worried about the direction our country's taken, and they're looking for strong, very conservative America First Republicans go to D.C., and I think they see me as that candidate.
Well, listen, one of the things on your resume is what I wanted to touch on first. I got two things I want to cover down with you on. One is international foreign policy related to Ukraine, but the other is if we have time, I want to get to the congressional redistricting that Alabama may face. Nonetheless, let me do this one first. I've been spending the last half hour unpacking the latest in the Ukraine saga. I'm not going to try and poison the well and tell you what I think. You tell me what you think. Based on your time in the military, your time in the Pentagon, what is your review of where we stand right now in response to Putin's aggression to Ukraine?
Well, you know, I think the aggression is more a feature of Biden's imagination than it is of Putin's reality on the ground. Certainly those areas that are contested there in eastern Ukraine, where there's very, very high levels of Russian-speaking and ethnic Russians, and that's been a problem for a long, long time. There's no appetite in this country, and there's no facts on the ground that would indicate a need for the United States to become involved in combat in the Ukraine against Russia. First, there's no invasion. Second, Ukrainians and their leaders are saying, hey, the United States, back off. You're overstating what's going on the ground here. And then our NATO allies have no appetite for this other than maybe the UK and a few others. And NATO's gone a long way to the east when I think it was Secretary Baker, after the wall fell in 90, said NATO will not go one inch, you know, further east. And now we're 1,000 miles further east. So, you know, all these things militate pretty strongly against us getting involved on the ground. We can use diplomatic power, economic power, you know, information power, these sorts of things. But the idea we'd be involved with combat forces is just not in our national interest.
Well, and so I don't disagree with that. I concur that putting boots on the ground in Ukrainian mud is not going to be a solution that we should seek whatsoever. But Casey, I mean, to go to one of the things you said earlier there in your statement, you said this is more in, I think you said, like Biden's imagination. It's not an imagination that we have roughly 130,000 Russian troops massing on the border of Ukraine. I mean, that's legit. That's real, right? Is Intel wrong on that, or are you saying that's not real?
Well, I'm saying it's their border. We have a whole lot of troops in Texas, too. And yet we don't hear Mexico talking about an invasion. You know, these Russian troops are inside the Russian boundary. You know, if NATO is right on their boundary, I don't know why they wouldn't have their troops poised to defend their country.
Well, I think
are
if
they doing cyber attacks, are they doing warfare attacks? Are they doing?
I think if U.S. troops were housed, attacks?
I don't think I've heard any reports of that yet.
Let me jump in there, Casey. Let me jump in there real quick. I think if U.S. troops remained inside the contiguous boundaries of Fort Hood, Fort Bliss in Texas, no one's going to care. If you see massive combat troops and forward deployed log trains coming to along the edge of the southern border and massing for a forward posture into the neighboring country, don't you think Mexico would care about that?
Yeah, they would. They would.
Well, that's my concern is, so what do we do with a threat to another sovereign nation? Do we just ignore it, or do we, I mean, you mentioned three of the four aspects of the acronym DIME.
The economic power, he threw a lot of that away when he took us from being a net energy exporter to an importer again and allowed, you know, the Russians to run their Nord Stream 2 pipeline to Germany. Germany, they just canned their chief of naval operations because he said Germany's interests lie with Russia. Well, that's obvious because they get their energy from Russia. And that's an artifact of the fact that Biden allowed that pipeline to go forward when Trump was trying to stop it and have, you know, Western interests aligned with Western energy sources instead of dependent on Russia.
All right. But it's so all right. Granted, you've got your experience, and I'm. By the way, I think you weren't agreeing on most of this. But the thing that I'm hearing from you that does bother me a bit is I do not think that this is something we can purely ignore because it's somebody else's problem. I mean, at this point, if you've got a forward-leaning posture by Russia against a sovereign nation of Ukraine, and I don't think we should put boots on the ground over there. But I also don't, I've always been taught never take one of the four acronym words of DIME off the table. You named three of them, but you believe that military should never be on the table is what you're saying. I think when we remove one from the table, we diminish our capacity for negotiation.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. I said I'm not in favor of combat operations. And,
okay.
You know, if we give them military aid, if we give them training and so forth, that's fine with me. But the idea that we had 8,500 troops poised on alert, you know, to deploy to Europe to reinforce the 40,000-person rapid reaction corps that NATO has, well, the only place to send them would have been on into adjoining countries and then perhaps into Ukraine. I don't think we need to be prepared to put combat forces on the border of the Russian, you know, of Russia. And I just don't see that's in our vital national interest.
Okay, and I agree with that. Fair enough. All right. Well, so at that point, do you see this as a wag the dog scenario, the Biden administration trying to distract from its own, you know, failed administration's attempt to do everything else? Or is this something that we just are seeing overblown in the media right now on his behalf? Or is it legit?
Well, I think there's some entanglements there the Bidens have that go way back. Remember, Ukrainegate was about looking into what the Bidens are doing over in Ukraine, and Hunter Biden in particular, and their intermingling of financial interests with personal interests. How much that is behind this would be worth looking into. Diverting American attention from all the other Biden failures is worth, you know, considering. And, you know, I don't see any of these guys, if their kids were in uniform or if we had a draft military, I think they'd be a lot more circumspect about talking about committing U.S. forces on the ground in Ukraine.
Well, and I that's probably true. And I think that most of the time you see policy being driven by people who have not ever had their boots dirty. But all right, well, listen, Casey, I hear your perspective. I respect it. I think that there is probably more to it than just something that is somebody else's problem. And I don't think you're saying that per se. But let's do this. I got to take a break. When I come back, I want to switch gears. Because you're running for a congressional district and a court just finished saying that we may have to redraw the congressional districts. I'd love your perspective on that as a candidate. What do you think about that and where it's going? Because we're going to spend some time talking about that on the rest of the show, so I want to hear from you first. All right, folks, we're with Casey Wardinsky right now, leading the pack right now in fundraising to run for Congress for Congressional District 5 right here in the listening area. Stay tuned. More of that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are solid, conservative, just plain right. Moving back to the phones right away while we have a few minutes with Casey Wardinski, who is running for Congress in Congressional District 5 right here in the listening area. So, Casey, let me switch gears on you. You're running for Congress. Just the other day, we got one of those wonderful moments when Alabama gets challenged in court, and the court said we got to do something different than what we're doing, which in this case is the congressional district lines are now in question. The court has actually ruled they have to be redrawn. State of Alabama, with a number of other friends of the court, they call them, are filing briefs and asking the U.S. Supreme Court to stay that, because otherwise they have to be redrawn like by next week or 2 weeks from now. Could delay, House Speaker McCutcheon said that if that happens, it could wind up delaying the primary for the congressional race. What are your thoughts, and do you think where you personally live within the current district that it could affect you if the lines are redrawn?
Well, I've seen the variety of maps, and it certainly could affect the 5th District, northern Alabama here. I don't think too much of this stuff. When I was superintendent, I was contending with sort of another legacy from the 1960s, which was a desegregation lawsuit in the world of education. And these things all sort of are very simplistic. They don't entertain the complexity of modern society. You know, when you look at the census, one of the fastest growing groups is multi-race. Then next fastest is Asians. And so a lot of these sort of different groups weren't part of the mix back in the 1960s and early 70s when these various acts were passed to affect education and voting rights. And when you look at the change we've seen since 2010 to 2020 in the census of Alabama, I don't see anything there that justifies a radical redrawing of the maps. Things pretty much are as they were with regard to black and white sort of populations. The big growth was elsewhere, multi-race, Asian, and other. And so this revamping at the last minute, you know, is just another sort of artifact of messing up an election.
Well, and yeah, and as I unpack this later on after our call, one of the points that I was going to make is, I think you sort of just said it, is that these lines that we are currently looking at that you're in the middle of your race for are not that different than the last time we redrew the lines, because I was down there when we redrew the lines last time, and it was sustained at that point. So how different did they get in the last 10 years? And you're right, the demographics have not changed dramatically, so what changed? And I would say right now what changed is the judges who heard it. I guess that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, it sounds like legislating from the bench again, and sort of that and a mix of that and identity politics going on, neither of which are good for our country.
No, not at all. Well, so have you heard anything official about whether or not they would have to delay the primary that you're currently working on?
No, we haven't heard that. In fact, it wasn't even clear how the court ordered the a private organization, the Republican Party, to delay their qualifying period. You know, qualification was supposed to end, I think, the 31st, Monday, at 5 o'clock or something like that. And the court directed it be extended to 11 February. I mean, these are parties. They can go about picking their candidates the way they choose. And now the court's gotten involved with these parties, these private organizations, to tell them how to operate, and they weren't even part of the case.
No, and they're part of the case now, though. The Republican Party just filed a supportive brief to the attorney generals, along with 14 other states, by the way. 14 states have joined Alabama in fighting back on this redistricting issue because they recognize what it'll do to them if these things can be changed. Literally, within 120 days of a primary, wham, then a verdict comes down that changes everything or has the potential to change everything. And that's just, to me, there's a lack of equity in that decision-making.
Yeah, the demographer that the court had, I think he drove four maps, and they were very different from the maps that exist today. And that would radically change, you know, where the voters were for each of the districts and how the individual campaigns were going to run to try and win their elections. That's not a lot of time. So you know, then you say, well, they might delay the election from May 24th to whenever. Well, that affects, you know, all kinds of things like campaign fundraising, how you allocate your time, where you spend your money. All those are big choices you make early in a campaign.
Well, they are, and not the least of which is, wouldn't it be a whooping to find out that somebody is a candidate in a race? Like right now we're seeing down in South Alabama, if they redraw the lines according to what's being suggested, that our two freshman congressmen currently, Jerry Carl and Barry Moore, could wind up being drawn into the same district and then have to duke it out to see who survives. I mean, at that point, it's Thunder, it's Thunderdome for that particular district. Two men enter and one man gets to leave. But all right, well, we'll see how that plays out.
No way to run a country.
No, it's a pretty jackleg way to run a country. And what it also boils down to is race is always the issue. So allegedly, these voting rights acts were designed to prevent racial prejudice. But what they do then is wind up putting race constantly at the forefront of every decision. And so technically, we are deciding on race, whether they wanted us to or not.
It kind of creates perverse incentives for people to gather and settle by race, which I didn't think was the goal. It was just supposed to be America, you know, Americans, not the different flavors of Americans settling in different areas to get a political advantage or an economic advantage.
Right. And there's also the assumption right now that if they redraw these lines to further divide up black voters in the state, if they think that means that it's going to be Democrat wins, I think they could be sadly mistaken. I think I was talking to John Wall, the chairman of the Republican Party, the other day. He said, if they do that, the reality is we might go in and win both. And they have no Democrat in Congress from Alabama. So they may be one of those where you got what you wanted. Maybe the dog shouldn't have chased the car and caught the bumper. But we'll see.
Right.
All right, Casey Wardinsky.
Virginia with his last election for governor.
Yes, exactly. Hey, man, we're up against that hard break. Thanks for your time on the phone today. Listen, I'm going to want to talk to you about Ukraine more later. If Russia invades, I'm going to be calling you again, all right?
Sure thing.
All right, Casey Wardinsky running for Congress, currently leading in the fundraising, and we'll see what the courts say about whether or not the district stays the way it is now. All right, folks, listen, we're going to be moving towards a break here. Coming back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start taking... and I may, by the way, I may have a few final comments on Russia, Ukraine, but then I'm going to start taking a hard view of what is going on with the courts getting involved in our politics and demanding that we, at the last minute, redraw all the congressional district lines. Y'all, it's something else. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what the court was thinking when they said, hey, legislature, go back and in the next 10 days, redraw the lines. It took them months to draw what they have. And so, oh my gosh, it was a debacle from the moment the judge entered the order. And truthfully, it can have a dramatic impact on our state politics. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.